You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
Let's go ahead and let's open up to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. Just a real popular verse, but awesome, awesome for the time right now. Right, the Lord's been teaching us a lot of things from here, and we're gonna start right there. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. Look at what it says: Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, it's good what the Lord is teaching us, right? To have our faith in Jesus, right? And faith is a gift from the Spirit of God, right? Put your faith in Jesus Christ and forget about what you think you know. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and forget about what you think you know. You know, can I tell you something? Out of Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand. Right? Can you see that? Can you see that? You know, I'm not asking anyone to understand that. I'm just saying, can you see that, right? By faith, you understand that the worlds were formed. By faith, you understand. You don't understand here that God is the creator and that He formed, right? There are people that call themselves creationists, right? Interesting, right? They call themselves creationists, and they can be scientists, and they're convinced that there was a higher power that created the world, but they don't believe in God and they don't believe in Jesus, right? They don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they believe that there is a creator, right? So that is not knowing, right? That's not knowing. Just because you can believe that a higher power created what you see, but you don't know God, right? But you don't know God because you can't, obviously we can't know God without knowing Jesus, right? Without knowing Jesus, you can't know the Father. Without knowing Jesus, you can't know the Father. And it says that by faith we understand. That by faith we understand. So it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, right? Do not be wise in your own eyes. It's just good to understand what the Lord is teaching us, right? He said, don't lean on your own understanding because you're not that bright. Right, you can't. It's not about ignorance, right? That we can't learn anything. It's just that the things of God cannot be understood. You understand, right? Listen, if the things of God can be understood, then everyone would have faith. Everyone could have faith absent from, you wouldn't need the Spirit of God. But see, without the Spirit of God, you can't have faith. Without the Spirit of God, you can't have faith. Only the Spirit of God could bring us to the place of faith. Because He's the only one that teaches, and He's the only one that can reveal to you, right? He's the only one that teaches, and He's the only one that can reveal. He's the only one that can open. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, I mean, that's really, for all of our thinking, for all of our knowing, for all of what we think we understand, right? Trust the Lord with that. Because you know what happens? When the Lord teaches you truth, you accept truth. You accept truth. You didn't understand truth. You accepted truth. You know how awesome that is? Like, you don't understand how God created the world. You just accept it, right? And by the Spirit of God, He bears witness. He bears witness in your heart, right? Bears witness in your heart, and you, right? We call that knowing. But it's by faith that you know. We call that knowing, right? But you have not understood. It's not like you figured it out, right? You didn't figure something out. The Spirit of God opened up your eyes for you to be able to see. You know, there's a huge difference between seeing by faith and understanding in a physical mind. Understanding with a fleshly mind, right? If we could understand with a fleshly mind, everyone that, in other words, you would have to be very intelligent, right? It would be based on our intellect. Christianity and faith and what you know from the Word of God would be based on your intellect. But the Word of God and revelation of God is not based on how smart you are. You could be, in the world's standards, a very ignorant individual. Yet no God greater than everyone in the world, right? So it's not based, it has nothing to do with how much you know or how schooled you are. You know, there's something I want to show you. Something I want to show you that's really interesting. And there's several things that we're going to look at. But look at Acts chapter 17, around verse number 22. Acts chapter 17, let's take a look at that real quick. Acts chapter 17. Verse number 22, look at Acts 17 verse 22. It says, then Paul stood in the midst, and what he's talking about right now is Greeks, right? The Greeks were a people, and I'm going to tell you something, it's very interesting, because I come in contact with a lot of people, right? And there are, for instance, people in India, right? They're not offended by you speaking to them about Jesus. And why is that? Because they worship a multiplicity of gods. So you speaking to them about Jesus is just one other one, right? It's just one other one. You know, and you could worship Jesus and you can worship this one too. Can I say something? Faith in Jesus Christ is one thing, right? But there are people that can say that they worship the Christian God, right? And they could do it just from the top of their head. And it not be true and it not be real, but from the top of their head. You know why? Because every other God, understand this, can be understood. Right? Jesus Christ, right? God Almighty cannot be understood. Every other God that people worship can be understood. Right? And that's why a lot of times people worship other gods, because they want to understand, they want to see, they want to touch, they want to make a God out to be, watch this, they want to make a God out to be something that fits what they need at the time. Right? So in other words, right, this will sound real familiar, because there are some denominations that call themselves, right, that are Christian denominations. I believe that even in those things there are people that are saved there, but that have even, have you ever heard this? That you have, if you wear this thing here, because this one is the saint of travel. And this one is the thing of this. And this one, so they have little things, right? Little things that do what? That fit the circumstance, right? Forget about, right, Jesus Christ being our all in all and we having the fullness of God on the inside of us. But no. If you have this problem and you're going to travel, you hold this one and you kiss it like this. And if you are going to do this and you wear this and you do that. So people try to fit, and we do that even with God. Even Christians do that. They try to fit God, not to find out who He is, but to make them fit into what they're going. I was just talking to my family, we get to talking about things, and we were talking and just saying how interesting it is how people make God fit into their circumstance. You know, how you know, people, when people talk about, you know, jobs today, for instance, right, that you're prospering as long as, you know, you have a job and God is doing these things. But you know what, how about if we lived in a time where, you know, in an economy where jobs just weren't even available and there was no such thing as work and money was worth nothing and the things that people depended on crashed, then what do you do? You know, what do you do when you're in Elijah, right? What do you do when you're in Elijah and you're in the middle of a famine? You know, and there's no place to work, and there is no McDonald's, and there's no Wendy's, and there's no currency that you can buy things with, and you're out in the middle of nowhere, right? And your needs need to be met because you need to eat. Well, you know what God does? God brings you food in the mouth of a raven, right? But we wouldn't call that today, in the eyes of much of the church, we wouldn't call that prospering, because, you know, you're being fed by a raven, right? But the thing is, you know, we have our idea of what it is that prospering is, but we haven't really seen that what God wants us to call prosperity is in our soul and not outward. Now, is it true? Is it true that soulish prosperity does prosper you outwardly here? Sure it does, but for a purpose, and there is a reason for why God would have Christians to prosper, right? So that we would have an abundance for ourselves and all our needs met, and for every good work that God wants to do, there would be an abundance to do those things, right? There's purpose to what God does in our lives. But but so we're getting a little bit off to where we were, but so the Greeks had many gods, right? Had many gods, and then here is Paul, and we're talking about how God can't be understood, right? And in verse number 22 it says, then Paul stood in the midst of the, and I think it's Areopagus, we'll just say it like that, or Areopagus. He stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, which were many, right? He says, I even found an altar with this inscription. What did that altar say, and what was the inscription? To an unknown God. To an unknown God, right? And then he says, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, the one who you worship without knowing, and he means that, just like that. The one who you worship without knowing him, right? Because you don't know him, him I proclaim to you. So Paul could speak to them about this unknown God. So he would speak to these people by the Spirit of God, to men that don't have a Spirit of God with them or in them, right? So he would speak to them by the Spirit of God in order so that the Spirit in him would reveal to these men so that they might be able to see, right? But the one who they worship is the unknown God. Now, why is that? And here's the thing. God cannot be understood by the physical mind, right? You don't understand God with your mind. You don't understand. If God could be understood with the physical mind, you would not need the Holy Spirit, and you could just understand him, right? You could just understand him. But notice this, and it'll bring back, there's so many verses that go so beautifully with this, but even here it says, to the unknown God, and then he began to speak to them about this unknown God. What would happen if they were to hear Paul and begin to receive what he was saying? The God who was prior to him getting there, unknown, would all of a sudden become the God revealed to them. But before he was there, before there was a man to give them the gospel, they could not know him, ever. They could not know him. Outside of someone giving them the gospel, they could not know him. Right? They could not know that unknown God, right? So a couple of good things are happening. So being able to establish in our mind that the things of God cannot be known by the human mind, right? The things of God cannot be known and understood by the human mind. And that's why, listen, one of the biggest hindrances in the church today is people that are in church learning what people are saying and having it make sense. And Christians, well-meaning, right? But Christians would be okay with doctrine as long as it makes sense. And when you get into an area where you say something to me that doesn't make sense to my physical mind, I walk away offended. Let me show you something. Let me show you something, right? John chapter 6, right? John chapter 6. Okay, verse 41. John chapter 6 and verse number 41. It says that the Jews complained about him. The Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. What is their problem already? Right? He's saying things to them that goes against their understanding. You see what the problem is? And you may have heard it taught before, you know, that it can go against your doctrine, go against your philosophy. But here's the thing. Philosophy and doctrine can fit in your mind. Right? But not, right? Faith does not fit in your mind. Right? Faith does not fit in your mind. Now, so the thing to understand is that these are not things that can just be understood. And when we're talking about a mind, we're talking about a fleshly mind, right? God cannot be understood by a fleshly mind, right? Now, the Spirit of God can have our mind renewed. And he can cut things out that don't belong in there, right? And he can illuminate our minds, and we can accept things, and we can produce a harvest in our mind. But even there, don't get me wrong. When the Spirit of God is illuminating your heart so that you understand, and that by the mind of Christ has been given to you, and the Spirit of God has been given to you, right, to understand, you're acknowledging these things as truth, and you accept them as the reality that they are. Don't think that it is your, listen, God, he didn't make you smarter. You understand that? The Holy Spirit is not making you smarter. Right? It is not your intellect that's growing and being educated in the things of God, right? That's not called education. He didn't expand your mind so that you'd be able to see, right? He didn't expand your mind, right? Your mind is as it is, right? Your mind is as it is. And if you were ignorant and didn't know much before you were saved, you're still in the same category, right? The Holy Spirit does not make you smarter, right? Now He can give you wisdom and illuminate so that you might see and you accept those things, but don't confuse accepting a truth, right, by the Spirit of God that's bearing witness on the inside of you, and your spirit and the Spirit of God are agreeing. Don't confuse that for intellect, right? Don't confuse that for becoming smarter, right? We're not getting smarter, right? The Bible makes no reference to the fact that God has given you more, that He's making you smarter, right? That's not what He's doing. Revelation is not making you more intelligent, right? You have faith, right? But faith is not about your intellect. Faith is not about your intellect. But let's go into that before we get into things that we don't really know yet. So He says then, in 41, he says, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus? So what are they doing? They're reasoning based on what they see. So they know Him. They saw Him growing up. They knew His mommy and they knew His daddy. Now, what makes no sense? The Immaculate Conception to these men makes no sense. Why? Because that to an intelligent man, that is stupidity. To an intelligent man, that is foolishness, right? Don't tell me that some Holy Ghost came into some woman that was still a virgin, because you can't have a baby if you're still a virgin, right? That's stupidity to someone who's intelligent, right? But the funny thing is that the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded their eyes so that they cannot see. They cannot see, right? The gospel can be preached to them, but men that lean to their own understanding can never see. Can never see. And Christians, listen, Christians will get saved, right? Will get saved believing in a Savior that they cannot see, cannot touch, and believe that He's cleansed them from all their unrighteousness, that there is a heaven that they will take part of, right? A heavenly kingdom that will be theirs, and they can understand these things and accept them. But somehow, for some reason, they begin, and it was the same thing that Paul was telling the Galatians, right? They begin by the Spirit, accepting huge, enormous truths by the Spirit, and then they go on the rest of their life trying to be perfected by a fleshly mind and by a fleshly body. Right? They began by the Spirit and they try to continue now performing by the flesh, learning by the flesh, becoming educated. You know, it's funny. The world writes books. The world studies things. The world the world has a way of its economy and its thing. And it's an interesting thing that whenever the church tries to mimic that, it doesn't work. Whenever the church tries to mimic the ways of the world, it does not work, right? Can I tell you something? Listen, and this is just a personal thing, so I'll say it as that. It's a personal thing. You know what? The gospel should be able to be free to anyone. And I understand that there are some times where things have to be charged for because there is time and there is labor and there's things that go into stuff. But ultimately, can I tell you something? We shouldn't be trying to match the world's way of doing things, right? We shouldn't be trying to match the system of the world. We shouldn't be trying to match and to see people as dollar signs instead of seeing them as people of God that need to hear, right? But instead, we take it. I remember people saying that and even teaching me stuff like that. Yes, a church is a church, but a church is a business. But you know what? A church is not a business. The church is not a business. And you don't have to be a business major to be a pastor, right? It's not a business. It's not a business. And people could try to make it look like that it's good to be business savvy. But can I tell you something? Listen to me. Your intellect and your savviness about a subject will lead you to make decisions outside of the influence of the Spirit of God. Why? Because you know something. Right? Every time we think we know something, we will act on what we think we know. Right? But listen, for parenting, where do people look to today? For parenting, they don't look to the Spirit of God. They look to books. They look to Dr. Spock. They look to this one or that one. Who is the awesome teacher when it comes to parenting? Who is the teacher that's on the inside of you that can give you wisdom for all things, right? But we look to books. Listen, the Greeks can be made fun of, right? But the funny thing is, we're not that far from the Greeks. This civilization that we live in today is not that far from the Greeks, right? Because the Greeks were all about knowledge. What are we all about? Knowledge, right? What are we all... Listen, our children could be failures, failing terribly in their life because they refuse to look to Jesus. But as long as they're being successful, right? As long as they're being successful in school, and as long as their successes in their financial situation or where they live, you know, we consider them in our eyes to be a success. If my children were prosperous people and did not know Jesus, in my eyes, they would be poor. They would be poor and they have nothing. They would be poor and they have nothing. Right? Because what good would it be? But we accustom ourselves to doing that, to thinking that it is all about, you know, as long as they can get ahead and as long as they're hard workers, at least you can say those things about them. Listen, it is so awesome to see the things that God wants to teach you. And I'm just gonna say it like this: the less that we think we know, the more that you will be able to receive from the Lord. The less that you think you know. What did we just say? Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. You see the order of that? You will not acknowledge Him when you lean on your own understanding. You will not. You will not acknowledge Him. Listen, I know what it is to sit in front and start taking an exam and say, Lord, I don't remember anything. I studied, but I just don't remember anything. I don't know why that would happen to me so many times, but I would study for something and it would just ooze out of my ear. I don't understand what would happen. And I would look at it, I would put in the time, and I just couldn't learn, right? I couldn't learn that way. So, but it was interesting though, that when I began to lean on the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to bring all these things to my remembrance, and I know I put it in, so I know you can bring it up, because I can't do this. It's amazing how things will come up. How things would come up. I remember even times prior, you know, preparing a message and coming here, and I would be in the Word and worshiping the Lord and loving on God, and God showing me all these things, and I don't know what in the world would happen. Right before I would be able to get up, it was like everything would leave my mind. Like I couldn't remember anything. Right? I don't want to have a plan, right? Because if I have a plan, I'm not going to lean on Him. I'm going to do my plan, right? Because I know. Listen, can we just say that? When you know, you will lean on your understanding. Why? Because you know, right? When you know, you know. And when you think you know, you're going to lean on what you think you know. But when you say, Lord, I can't, without you, Lord, I can do nothing. Without you, Lord, I can do nothing. I can't think. Listen, there's something that Paul taught us in Romans chapter 7, that he showed the dilemma of the fleshly mind and the fleshly body. He said, I could want to do what is right and think right, and I would ever inevitably do and think those things that are wrong. Because don't get me wrong, just because he said that the things that he wanted to do, those things he didn't do, it didn't mean that somehow he went from thinking all these good thoughts to sinning with his body. No. He would be thinking, I want to do this right, and then he would go all into the wrong thoughts in his fleshly mind and go into sin with his body. So it's not like his mind stayed right. The mind will not stay right. The mind will not stay right. Look at, I know we have to go back to Acts chapter, we didn't even finish Acts 17. We were Acts 17, John 6, and we didn't finish anyway, but that's okay. That's good. So let's just look at Romans chapter 3 real quick. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 9. It says, what then? It says, are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. And the no, not one includes all of us here, right? Not even one of us in here are righteous. Not even one, right? by our own merit, right? Our own self-righteousness. Now, when we say, I am the righteousness of God, why is that good news? Because He made us righteous. He made us the righteousness of God in Christ. There is none... Can you read that with me, please? Where is it? Can we look at that verse number 11? Look, there is none who understands. Do any of us here understand? There is none who understands. None who understands, right? Outside of faith, right? There are none who understand. God can listen, you couldn't understand before, and by yourself, you can't understand now. You couldn't do it before, you can't do it now, right? But when you say, Lord, I cannot understand, so therefore that's why I need a teacher on the inside of me for you to speak to me, right? For you to speak to me and show me, and the things that you open up and show me, Lord, and you reveal like this to me, those things I will accept because I know your voice, right? You didn't understand what he just said. There are things that we as Christians, we accept as truth, and you don't understand. Listen, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like this. As a man that would sow a seed, and he sleeps and he would rise, right? And he sees the growth, but he doesn't understand. But he doesn't know. He doesn't know how that happens. But what? But you believe. And you understand, right? So by faith we understand. By faith we understand. And there's a lot more there to be seen and to be understood. Because that's probably a loose statement to just say, by faith we understand. But I will tell you this. For you to say, Lord, I cannot know. Listen, the Lord has taught us for months and years that, Lord, I can't do your will. I don't even know how many weeks it was. I mean, I want to say maybe it was, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks or 5 weeks that the Lord was teaching us about the fact that only the Spirit of God can do the will of God. Only the Spirit of God can do the will of God, and that men can't bring to pass the will of God, right? But you know how awesome this is? Listen, if you can't bring to pass the will of God, right? And the Lord is going to use your body to bring to pass His will, right? Do we see though that in order for the will of God to be done, right? We have to know. You have to know, right? You have to know. The Lord looked at Abraham. He said, will I not tell him? Won't I speak to Abraham and let him know what I'm doing? Right? And the Lord would speak to you and show you, listen, tell you what He's doing. And you accept it because you know the voice of your shepherd. And you accept that, but you don't know how He's going to do it. How's He going to bring it to pass? How's He going to do that? How's He going to heal me? Listen, if the Lord has healed any of you in here of anything ever in all of your life, you have no idea how He did it. You know that He did it by the life of God on the inside of you, but you don't know how He did it. See, we don't understand with our mind. We're not waiting to understand with our mind to accept something, right? God is not making us smarter. He's not making us smarter, but I tell you this, what we are growing in, right, is in the acknowledgement of who we have on the inside of us, growing in the using of the mind of Christ that's been given to us, right, and a renewing of our mind constantly, a renewing of our mind, where we can take out the stuff that doesn't belong in there, and the Lord can cut those things out where it doesn't belong, and what you have are the thoughts of God. The thoughts of God in your mind. The thoughts of God in your mind. That we can think on those things, because He does tell us that, right? Think on those things that are beautiful and that are lovely and that are of a good report, but those thoughts and those things come and are brought up to us, right, by the Spirit of God, and you think on those things, and you think on those things, and it's not just thinking on them when you think it's convenient, but the Spirit of God will bring those things to your remembrance so that you can think on those things that should be thought of, right? Right? It's good. Jesus taught the disciples so many things. He taught the disciples so many things. And He said, you know what, I tell you these things now, so when the time comes, you'll understand and you'll remember what I said to you, right? Remember the things that He has said to you, right? And maybe at the time that He speaks something to you, and maybe it doesn't mean anything to you right then and there. But my gosh, give that, let Him be the one to bring that up. And He's so timely when He brings things up. So timely when He brings things up. So timely when He brings things up. There is none that are righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. Do you see what the fleshly mind and the fleshly body is? It's unprofitable. The fleshly mind and the fleshly body is unprofitable. Why? Because the fleshly mind, right, is enmity against God, right? It will do the opposite. It will think the opposite, right? The fleshly body is the same way. But if you know that, you know what, that's not who you are anymore. You are not your fleshly mind, and you are not your fleshly body. But you now live and can walk by the Spirit of the living God that is on the inside of you. That's who you're united with. That's the mind that's been given to you now, right? That you can, it's almost like you can say, like, your spirit right? Your spirit has a mind. Like your spirit has been given a mind, right? By the Spirit of God, you know. By the Spirit of God, you know. And there's many things that you accept as fact, right? You don't know the inner workings of them, right? You haven't become smart to all of those things, but you accept things, right? As truth because He's teaching you. As truth because He's teaching you. Look at what He says. He says, all together have become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. See, people may want to do good, but they'll not find on the inside of them the how to do that good, right? They'll not find it, right? Thank God that we find it and we're not the ones that need to do good, right? Thank God that we found that and we're not the ones that need to do good. Let's go back and back again to John chapter 6. Go back again to John chapter 6. Let me show you something there. John chapter 6. We started about verse 41. So let's jump down a little bit. Look at verse number 42. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me. Listen, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Right, you. No one comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith in Him and comes to the Lord, right, without the Father having taught him by the Spirit. No man can do that. No man can come that way. No man can come by himself and understand. It is written, it says, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Who's teaching us? God is teaching us. If it were your understanding, I could teach you. Right? I could teach you what I've learned and you could understand. But since I haven't learned that it's the Spirit of God in me, right, that has taught me, right? It's the same Spirit that teaches you. The same Spirit. So I can't teach you, and I don't even know how many churches you'll ever hear that, right? But you are taught by God and not by men. You are taught by God, not by men. The prophecy says, and they shall all be taught by God. All men are taught by God. All men are taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned, right? Because it's in the listening, right? It's in the listening. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. He says, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna. Watch this. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give, listen, is my flesh. Right there, he lost them. Right? Right there. They were complaining before. Now he just lost them, right? Because now all they can think of is what? Cannibalism. That's all they can think about. It doesn't fit in their mind. Why? Because what sense would it make to any of us in here, right? If we didn't understand what communion was and we didn't understand that he would give his body for our sins, if we didn't understand what it was to receive truth, to know that he's the way, the truth, and the life, you wouldn't even know what it is to eat his flesh, right? And even today, listen, that's probably one of the most unpopular things for a pastor to say from a pulpit, is that he would say in church to eat his flesh and drink his blood. They would feel uncomfortable saying that. Why? Because they don't want to say things to a congregation, right, that would offend their ears, right? But it's not about offending your ears, right? It's about the Lord saying what he has to say. The things that the Lord was bringing up on Sunday, right, is that we have to grow to be people that are not offended when things go contrary to your understanding, because you start learning how not to lean on it. I know that we're not there yet, right? Because we're still leaning. Because I get questions about people who see something, right? I've gotten questioned and drilled by people who are looking at something and it doesn't make sense to their human mind and they don't like it very much. Why is it that they don't like it? Because they're offended. Why are they offended? Because it doesn't make sense to their human mind, right? See, I don't even know what the Christian... I have no understanding of what Christians would do today. They could not... Listen, the majority of the Christian community today could not be a prophet. Could not be prophets. That's why the majority of people that call themselves a prophet, I don't even believe they are prophets, right? Because a prophet doesn't go around calling himself a prophet anyway. You didn't see Ezekiel say, "I am the prophet Ezekiel, sent of God," right? They just prophesied, and their prophecy spoke for itself, right? The man that calls himself a prophet is probably not one, right? Why? Because, can you imagine, what would the mind of most Christians do if God tells you to take your food and cook it with the dung that comes out of your body? He was told to do that. He was told to do that. He laid on his side for days. Right? The Lord will tell prophets to do so many things that do not fit into the human understanding, right? But what was he doing? Other than also prophesying through them, they were also being trained, right? That you say what I say, and what I say isn't always going to make sense to your brain, right? How many people do you know? Let's grab a couple of those that have ads in the paper, come in here, prophet so-and-so, and let's ask them what they would do if God asked them to do something like that. They would rebuke God. They would rebuke him, and they would say that it is not of God. Because you know what people do? They go around rebuking and not accepting things that are not from God. You know why? Because they think that it's not from God because it doesn't make sense here. But what is it that God is trying to do in our lives right now? What is he trying to do? Get us to stop leaning on our own understanding, so if he can speak things to you that would not make sense otherwise to your mind. If you continue to lean on your own understanding, you cannot bear what God has to say. And that is to our demise. And that's that causes problems in our life. Us not being able to hear what God wants to say is a big deal for us, right? When you can't bear what God has to say, and God has to say it to you, but you can't bear it, what is it that you end up doing? What is it that people end up doing? Here's what they end up doing. It says, 52, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Listen, the Savior of the world is telling them one of the most significant things, that if they were to understand what it is to receive his body and receive his blood, salvation would come to their homes. Salvation would come to their homes, right? The gospel is being given to them. And it's the very thing, watch this, right? The very thing. It says, then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you." When Jesus says "most assuredly," that's a big deal, right? Everything that Jesus says is important. When he says "most assuredly" to you, you want to probably understand, right? You want to lean your ear. Let's strike the understand. You want to lean your ear and you want to hear, right? Let those who have an ear to hear, hear, right? So it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead." Not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. Why are they dead? Because they ate the manna and they didn't know what the manna was. That's why they're dead. It's not because they ate manna and the manna killed them. The manna did not kill them. God gave them the manna as a symbol of Christ. If they would have seen him, right, they would live. But they don't have life in them. Why? Because they ate the manna and they are dead. They didn't understand what it was, and they died in the wilderness, all of them except two. So he said, as the Father sent me, in verse number 57, I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying." What did they say right after? "Who can understand it?" No one. No one can understand it. No one can understand it. So it's well said, who can understand it? No one can. But that's their problem. That's their problem. That because it doesn't make sense to their human fleshly mind, they throw it away. They walk away from him, right? For whom they were created, they walk away from him.
for whom they were created, they walk away right from him. Right? They walk away right from him. Therefore, many of his disciples who heard this said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits what?" What have we been? What has he been talking about the whole time? Was he talking about actions with the body? Is that what he's been talking about, kind of like the whole time? Is it actions with the body, or has he been talking about the mind? Which one do you think he's been talking about? He's been talking about the mind, right? He hasn't been talking about the body. He wasn't talking to them about their works and their deeds and the things that they were doing with their hands and their feet and their body. He wasn't talking about their self-righteous acts and how they would, when they would fast, they would appear to men to be fasting. He wasn't talking about physical things. He was talking about their mind. And he said, "It is the Spirit that gives life." So the life that the Spirit of God is talking about here is not just life in you that affects this body, right? Life is not just human life. Life is not just energy, right? It's not energy that he's talking about. It's life and life. The life of God on the inside of you is the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And that Spirit will give life to your mortal body, and it will also give life to your mind and renew that mind by the same life, right? He says, "Does this offend you also?" He says in verse number 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life." He's talking to them about not understanding something. And he says to them, "Does this offend you also? It is a Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit." The words that I speak to you are Spirit, right? The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. Right? Because life comes from where, he just said? From the Spirit. Right? So what you can begin to tie together, and we're not going to get into it tonight because we don't know it, but what you can begin to see is a correlation between life and what you know. Life and what does, by life and revelation, you can begin to tie those two together, and you see the Lord will keep doing that, right? He'll show that. So he says, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. They are Spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless the Father has granted to him, right? It has been granted to him by my Father.' From that time," look at what it says, and it's a sad thing, but he says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away? Do you also want to go away?'" You know what the sad part about that is? Is that they were with him for a time. They were with him for a time hearing things, and they were okay with hearing as long as it fit in their mind. The minute you started speaking something, the minute he started saying things that didn't fit in their thinking, from that time on, they ceased to walk with him anymore. Right? Do you see how hard and how difficult we can make our lives leaning on our own understanding? Right? Your understanding will betray you. Your own understanding will betray you, and you won't be able to continue in the things that God wants you to do. You'll stagnate your own growth by your own understanding. Why? Listen, it's when the Lord begins to teach you things like he's been teaching us now, you know all he wants to do is bring you further. Otherwise, he wouldn't even be bringing it up. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. If you say it backwards, you know what he wants to do? He wants you to direct your path. So stop leaning on your own understanding so you can know where he wants you to go. Right? But you won't know where you're going. You can't hear the Lord sharing his heart with you, showing you what he's going to do in your life, because we're too caught up in what makes sense. Right? And we'll be confused, and we'll have this funny thing about, "Well, I don't know. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to have kids." Because I remember speaking to some of the teens, you know, when we're in the fellowship hall, right? And actually, I think it was Trevor that I was talking to, right? And he just said, "You know what? It's so cool to be able to talk to teens that know." And say, "You know what? You're a senior, right? And you don't have it figured out what you're going to do. And it's not your responsibility to figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life, because you don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. You go to college, spend your parents' money, and you ain't doing what you went to school to do." Right? Why? Because you didn't know, and you still don't know. Right? And if you question your parents, they don't even know. They're doing what they're doing because they got to do it, not because they want to do it. Right? So they don't know. So why would we ever pressure our own children to think that they have to know? They don't know. I remember my own son at that age, right? Staying up worried because he didn't know. He didn't want to figure out everything that he was going to be when he grew up, right? The Lord wants to teach you. He wants to teach you. And that's the only way that you know. Is it an excuse for your children to be lazy? No. That's not what we're saying, right? That's not what we're saying. You don't wait around. You don't wait around sitting on the couch until God... Listen, He will show you what you do step by step. If that doesn't mean lazy, right? That just means that He's going to show you step by step what you're to do. God does not promote laziness. If that was the thought in anybody's mind that, you know, what God wants you to do is He wants you to be lazy until He tells you, right? Look and see if you ever saw any of the great men that have done anything for God, that God has worked through them, if they were lazy in every way. God will show you. The thing is, can I tell you something? We're okay to seek God for tomorrow. But we're not seeking Him for today. We're not hearing today. We're asking God about tomorrow, and that's understandable. Asking God about tomorrow. But how about if we pray and seek Him today? You know what He would probably talk to you about today? Today. Today, He will probably talk to you about today. Because tomorrow has enough problems of its own. When you seek God, right, the Lord will tell you things to come. But His main objective is to talk to you about today. Why? Because that's where He wants to teach you. And that's where He wants to show you. And the Lord will prepare you a little bit at a time for things to come. The Lord doesn't rush anything in your life. But He shows you things to come. And He will have you on the right track, doing the right things, learning the right things, right? Having you experience the right things in your life so He can get you accustomed to things in your life. He'll do that for you. He doesn't just throw you in anywhere. He doesn't throw you in anywhere. So let's not get it wrong. It's not okay just to sit around saying, God is going to tell me someday, so I'm just going to sit on the couch until He tells me, right? But to allow yourself to seek the Lord, and you know what? Let Him take you a step at a time. Let Him take you a step at a time, and you'll know what to do. A step at a time, and you'll know what to do. Yeah, that's good. So, Ephesians chapter 3, that's an awesome place to end right there. Isn't that exciting though, right? That the Lord is speaking things to you, because it's what's coming, right? It's coming, right? So he just gets you ready. What was Pastor Mike talking about in prayer? I don't know if you were praying or talking, right? But he was talking about just being trained and prepared, right? That's an awesome thing. Because He's bringing you, so He's training you and He's showing you how to hear Him, right? Man, it's good. It's good to be able to be, right, a prophet of the Lord and have, right, a child of God and have the Lord. You know, you're not worrying about your life. Right, you can get married and not be worrying, and not bringing worry into your home and your family, not being bringing your worry and your cares then and dumping them on your spouse, but be able to have a good, thriving relationship even in the middle of difficult times, a relationship in a family that's not moved by the difficulty of the times. Right, difficult times are going to come. Let them come, but we're not moved. Right? We're not moved, and it doesn't have to move you, and it doesn't have to drag you down, and it doesn't have to kick you around. Right. The difficult times are going to come, right? But you are not moved because you have all of your... Right? This world is not your source, right? This world is not your source. Your roots grow down deep, deep, far, far beneath the rays of the sun. Far beneath the troubles of this world, right? But listen, but if our lives are superficial and we're depending on things that are just here, depending on one another, that shouldn't be, right? That shouldn't be. We shouldn't be depending on one another and depending on the government and depending on this one and depending on that one and depending on your boss and depending on your job. And if, because those things will fail. Then when those things fail and our lives are on that level, that hurts. And you get nervous. And you suffer from anxiety and things happen. Why? Because the things, your life is attached to these things. But if you allow God to cut off all those tentacles, right, that are reaching out, those that has your heart reaching out to all those things, and you gird up your mind by the Spirit of God, and you allow your mind and your eye to be single, and your roots have grown down deep, far away from the surface of this earth, right? Your heart has grown deep, far away from the surface of the earth, then you're not moved, right? It's like you're on the moon, and something's going on in the earth. Right? You have basically no care, right? If you're on the moon and all is well, right? And there's something terrible going on the earth, you may feel bad for the people, but it doesn't bother you, right? You're not of this world. You're not of this world, nor of its system, nor of its ways. And the God of this world is not your God. Right? It's not. It's horrible the things that are happening, but they're not going to happen in your home. It's horrible the things that are going on in their neighborhoods, but they don't have to happen in your house. Right? They don't have to happen in your house. Right? So it says in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 14, we are going to end in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Hasn't the Lord been teaching us that, right? The riches of His glory that are on the inside of you, the same place where your needs are met, is the same place that He's talking about now. The fountain is single and it's just one. The riches of His glory that meet your needs and the riches of His glory that are going to strengthen you in the inner man is the same fountain, right? So He says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened through His Spirit in the inner man. That you be strengthened through His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, right? That's what we were talking about, right? The correlation that there is between faith and seeing, right? The correlation that there is between faith and seeing and not leaning on your own understanding, but by faith understanding, right? Faith in Jesus and hearing the Spirit of God. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded. What were we just talking about? Our roots growing down deep, right? Out of the surface, away from the surface of this earth, right? Rooted and grounded in love, and that by that way you may be able to see is better than comprehend, right? That word comprehend there is to perceive, to see. That you may be able to see with all saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, right? To know the love of Christ, which does what? Passes what? You see what happens? It goes right over the head. The knowledge of God, right? The things He, what did He pray? That by the Spirit of God, that by the Spirit of God, that you would be able to see. That by, He said, He prayed this, that by the Spirit of God you would be strengthened by His power in the inner man. That you would be strengthened by His power in the inner man, because it passes, He says that He says to know the love of God which passes knowledge. It surpasses, listen, the love of God and the knowledge of what God wants to teach you is beyond your mind. And if you limit Him by your mind, you will miss, you'll just miss it. I don't want to say all of it, because there are things that you've learned, right? But where you're going cannot, you can't go there with your understanding. You can't go there. You can't continue to lean on something that's holding you back, right? It's just holding you back. Don't lean on it. It's like dragging around something that's dead, right? It's weighing you down. It's burdensome, right? Listen, and I know with the best of them, right? It is burdensome to try to know here. Because my God, I would try to prepare sermons, I would try to learn, I would try to see. That's burdensome. And then you scare yourself. And I remember talking to you about this a little bit. You scare the heck out of yourself because we were kind of sharing the experiences. But you scare the heck out of yourself because you think, wow, am I never going to learn nothing again, ever again? I'll never be able to preach another sermon again. Like, I can't do it anymore. That's it. Right? And then somewhere along the line, you get, hold on a second. Like, I can't know anyway. I can't just understand. I can't, you know, you could preach a great sermon about God loves you and God loves all the people of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all oppression is in His sight, right? But that's not knowing Him, right? Speaking empty words like that is not knowing God, right? But speaking things that will go down deep, right? Where the Spirit of God can come in with a sword on the inside and begin to cut things and change things on the inside. And you don't know exactly what's going on, but you know there's some chopping up going on in there, right? And He's chopping things and changing things and moving things around. And you know what? It may not feel very comfortable at first, but boy, is it good. And after a while, you know what? You don't care. Go ahead, rearrange all the furniture, Lord, if you want. It doesn't matter. You can rearrange it. You can take it out and you can remodel if you want, right? That's even better, right? Don't take it out and move it around. Just take it and throw it all out and bring all new in, right? Bring all new in. That's what we want. We want new furniture. We want new walls. We want new paint. We want them to knock down the old and build up the new. But can I tell you something? That new things from a new creation won't make sense to your mind. But it's an awesome thing what He's doing, right? Because if you don't lean on your own understanding, you'll go with Him. And you'll have Him speak beautiful things to you like that. And the Lord will say, if you will eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you say, yes, Lord, amen. Right? And you won't be of those who turn away to their own destruction, right? but you'll be of those that walk with the Lord and are not offended. And you'll be one of the ones to say to the Lord, and you say, Lord, where else would we go, right? You hold the words of life that come out of your mouth. Where else would we go to get life? Where else would we go to get life?
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.